Hi, everyone. Welcome to another show. My name is Elizabeth Ann Bach, and once again, we're going to be discussing highly sensitive people with Cliff Harwin, the author of Making Sense of Your High Sensitivity. Cliff Harwin has a great newsletter that he puts out. You can visit his website, and I'll give you that information a little bit in the show. That discusses a little bit more about what we're going to discuss tonight. Cliff has been author of this book for over a year now, and it's been doing very, very well and helping a lot of other highly sensitive people. That is our goal. So we're going to get started. We're going to introduce Cliff and talk about, once again, our subject matter. Hi, Cliff. How are you?
Hi, Liz. How are you? Thank you for having me back.
Good. Yes. Well, it's wonderful to have you back. And I'm feeling a lot of changes going on here. You know, we're doing a lot of nice things. I know you are, and we are together. So I was thinking about that before we were getting started to do the show tonight, that there's just a lot of good things coming our way. One of the subject matters that we're going to discuss tonight will be some questions that a lot of people have about highly sensitivity and what that means to them and how they can better utilize their high sensitivity. So how's everything going on your end?
Very good, Liz. Very good. I've been pretty busy with a lot of different things. We have some upcoming things with the meetup group that I have called the Highly Sensitive Person Friendship Circle, and we can talk about that later.
Uh-huh. Right. I know. You were saying that you had a lot of different things going on with that, so that's that is definitely something that we would want to cover to, you know, let anybody else know who's listening. I hope they won't be shy in listening, and I hope they won't be shy to ask some questions about, you know, this subject. And, you know, see what they can learn. So let's get started with, you know, I have to interject, though, for a second. I saw a half moon today in the sky. You know, I very rarely see this kind of half moon, you know. And with all the changes taking place, you know, it just made me think. And I sat there and I looked at it. You know, in your newsletter, you mentioned, you know, things of what you did when you would feel overwhelmed and out of touch with the rest of society. You would kind of sit back and look at nature, and it would relax you. And you know, I was looking at this moon today, thinking about that. Do the words you say inspire people?
I hope it does. You know, I wish that sometimes highly sensitive people sometimes give very good advice to other people, and they don't take their own advice themselves, and that's something that I have to be aware of, because I sometimes don't take the time I need to recharge my batteries, and I'm making the time and the effort to, you know, to step back and to relax when I need to, and that's something that's important for everyone.
Go ahead. I was going to say, before we get into some of the topics we were going to discuss, what are some of the new developments that you've had with, you know, some? I noticed with your newsletter you mentioned different programs. I see different comments from different people that have been following you and working with you on, you know, their high sensitivity, you know, learning more and more. What are some of the new developments that have gone on with this?
Well, it turns out that, you know, being on the Internet, I've been doing, you know, information on Twitter, on Facebook, and I find that I'm just getting a lot of emails and a lot of questions regarding high sensitivity. It's just amazing how I'm getting, you know, emails from people from all over the world. And I'm finding that highly sensitive people definitely have a need to connect with each other. And sometimes that's difficult because chances are, if you're highly sensitive, you don't know other highly sensitive people. And what I tried to do is, you know, I wrote a book about my life as a highly sensitive person, but what I wanted to do was to actually bring other highly sensitive people together, which is why I started my meetup group. And I have a combination of a lot of different events because I have not only people from my area, I'm located in central New Jersey. Not only do I have, you know, people in my area, New Jersey, Connecticut, New York, I have members from all over the world. So I was trying to figure out ways on how I can connect with other highly sensitive people in different parts of the world. And I've been doing teleconferences on different subjects of interest to highly sensitive people. What we try to do is, you know, people that can't come on the live call, the call is recorded, so this way they can listen to it, you know, at their leisure. Also, I want to thank you for, you know, for having me on your show, because people get a lot by learning about high sensitivity by what we talk about on your show. So
yeah, well,
I want to thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome, and it's my pleasure. I think it's just a new phenomenon that a lot of people aren't aware of. So when you mentioned that people are, you know, in a position of, you're finding that people are listening and reaching out, it's because they probably have not been aware that this has ever been something to, you know, it seems like a puzzle that's not put together throughout their life. And then all of a sudden, you know, we've now put a label on it, and we know that it really is a phenomenon, you know. So.
Well, it's something that a lot of people don't know a lot about. I only found out about this about 5 years ago. I mentioned previously that I found out through a adult ed class about, are you a highly sensitive person? And I knew that I was sensitive, but I didn't know what the term highly sensitive person meant. I really, you know, it was really a breakthrough for me. I've always been into self-help types of information, and, you know, I go to seminars and I read books, and I was trying to get answers for myself. And when I found out about this, I was really relieved to know not what my problem was, but was because how come I felt different, and what was that difference? And I just felt that, you know, life's activities and people and activities and different things, I was just constantly being drained on a regular basis, and I was emotionally and physically, and I was wondering where that came from. So it was a good breakthrough. I never thought of my high sensitivity as a negative. This is something that when I first went to the class, I'd say most of the members of the class didn't view their high sensitivity as a positive thing. And,
well, let me ask you a question
yeah.
when it comes to this. And I know we've discussed this a little bit, and we have some thoughts we're going to bring out in the show to specify different questions that you've been asked that you felt would be a good way to kind of summarize it on our talk show about this. But what's the difference between someone who doesn't like crowds and has anxiety as opposed to, you know, someone who's a performer and has anxiety and has a nervous spell before they go out on stage? Are they highly sensitive and they just deal with it? Or is there something different going on with a highly sensitive
person? Well, some entertainers, I can name one, a famous entertainer, Johnny Carson. He was a highly sensitive person, and he was able to deal in, you know, with the show. He was able to do very well with the show, but he found it very hard to converse with people on a one-to-one basis. But also in person, in his personal life, it was hard for him to be around people.
Well, I can relate to that.
Yeah, the difference between a highly sensitive person and a regular, you know, let's just say a regular quote person that has a problem with crowds. Highly sensitive people have a high sensitivity to everything, emotionally and physically. And it's just more so than the average person. And it's something that's very important to be aware of, because this way you can make allowances for it. It's not something that you can turn your emotions on and off like a faucet. It's an inherited trait, and it's something that you can work with if you understand it. And if you don't understand it, it could be a real problem.
Well, this is somewhat a physical condition because it is an
overactive nervous system. Overactive nervous
right.
system. So emotionally and physically, yes.
There's a physiological basis to it to some degree.
Right. There is, you know, there is different schools of thought. You know, some scientists don't think that it is inherited. In my particular case, I mentioned previously that in my case, it is inherited because I can see, looking back, I could see I inherited from my father and also my mother's father, my grandfather. So I could see where it came from, and it's tough when you don't understand it. It's tough if you're a child, especially, and you don't understand it. It's tough for a parent of a highly sensitive person. Sometimes they don't know how to deal with it because they don't understand it. And sometimes...
What's some of the feedback? Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Well, sometimes, you know, parents might want to push their child into different events that they're not comfortable with.
Right.
They might try to push them in a loving way, but it really doesn't help if you're highly sensitive. And
yeah,
you know,
you have to be careful.
You have to be careful, and you have to find out how your child can thrive in a situation rather than trying to push them into something that might not be good for them.
Well, I think it's important to put it on the table. You know, the psychological community put it on the table because it essentially comes down to it being, you know, part of our behavior, you know, to put it on the table so they can look out for these kinds of things.
There is more awareness about it, and it's good that parents are aware of it. It's good that adults are aware of it, and it's just amazing how, you know, people that I communicate with, highly sensitive people all over the world, we're talking about all age groups, not just children, not just adults. We're talking, you know, people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s that are just finding out about themselves. And I really believe that it's never too late to learn about yourself.
No. Why don't you share with us some of the feedback that you've been getting since you started doing this program after writing your book? Conversing with and getting groups together with other highly sensitive people. Share with us some of the things that people have said to you about why they're elated that you are, you know, heading this, you know, leading this whole program and helping them.
Okay, well, you know, when I first wrote my book, I really struggled with it because I'm really comfortable being in the background rather than being in the forefront. And when I wrote about my life, you know, these are personal things. I didn't have any great skeletons in my closet, but I had a lot of things that were bothering me as a child, and it was really a tough thing for me to put my name on it, to put my picture in it, to actually talk about my life. But what I wanted to do was to actually write about my life, but also it's in workbook form where people can relate their lives to mine, and this way it makes some sense. The main thing that really helps people is the relatability of the experience that I had, how that there was a lot of situations in their childhood, in their past, where they related to many of the experiences that I've had. It was kind of a relief to them that they didn't feel like they were alone. They feel that they were, you know, when you see other people experiences the same things that you do, you don't feel quite alone, and you feel more normal. And also, you know, also it's a reference they can refer to. You know, the strategies that we highly sensitive people need. Yeah, especially in situations, in group situations, at work, there can be a lot of conflict in work situations. I mentioned in my book about being self-employed, and the reason why I was self-employed, not because I had a great need to have my own business, but I just felt that I couldn't function in working for someone. I couldn't function well, so I had to start my own business, because, I mean, out of necessity rather than a great need to be self-employed.
You mentioned in your newsletter how you were anxious to get out there and do your own thing, and unfortunately you were only in third grade, so that was a difficult thing to do. And I think what's important is to kind of narrow down whether or not it fits into other types of realms rather than, you know, highly sensitive. And I think that that's what becomes difficult for people to understand, and I kind of want to always find myself narrowing it down to why is that different from, you know, a grandiose type of, you know, personality rather than highly sensitive. And I think, you know, I can totally relate to you when you talk about the different things. As you know, I'm also highly sensitive, and I can completely relate with you on a lot of different factors. There are a few things that I don't share, but a lot of them I do, and the need to be alone and kind of, you know, there were a lot of times where I understood things on a spiritual level a lot quicker than other people around me. And so that became very frustrating, like you mentioned in your newsletter, you know.
Well, it's, you know, we are different. We might look deeper into situations than others.
Right.
So sometimes we can become frustrated, impatient. It could be, you know, I guess it doesn't make any difference whether you're a highly sensitive person or not. I think that if people don't think the way you do and act the way you do, you think there's something wrong with them. And the fact of the matter is that we're all different. And it's, we could be frustrated with other people that we don't think alike. And, you know, sometimes you try to emulate other people. But in the end, we really have to be ourselves, and we have to understand ourselves.
Well, the one thing I've noticed with highly sensitive people, and I've been noticing a lot more too, they say that happens, you know, once you are aware of something, you notice it more. And I think what it really, it comes down to with me, and if I had to sum up one term, a highly sensitive person, I would say that I see a very, you know, it's an extreme compassionate type of characteristic. They're highly sensitive people are extremely in touch, you know, in a different way, you know, than other people. Many people are in touch with different things. I know many people right. that are very successful, and they're very capable of being in touch with others' feelings, being able to be compassionate. But with high sensitivity, I notice that, you know, they kind of zone in on that. They zone in on this awareness and compassion combination thing.
Right, and I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing that being aware of, you know, thinking deeply and being more compassionate, I think that's a good thing. And many highly sensitive people don't. I get comments and you know, questions all the time about this, and you know, you get the feeling that some people would like to not, they wish they didn't think and feel as deeply as they do. They think it's a hindrance rather than an advantage.
Well, it is. It is in a lot of ways, because it's not the norm. It's not the norm for everybody else around them. And so I think the key, and what we're gearing towards and I'm looking forward to, is the education on how to use it the right way and develop a series of, you know, ways to use it, because it is, most people around you don't think the way you do. They're not, if they don't think the way you do, which, you know, if you're highly sensitive, obviously they're not going to, but, you know, you're sitting there playing a game, a board game at your table with six other people, and, you know, you're getting all serious and everybody else is playing this game. You know, obviously it's going to play a part, but, you know, it's, you know, you have to understand what that means to you. Now, in my case, just for an example, you know, so people can get an idea of a difference of a scenario, there are maybe high sensitivity people that, you know, highly sensitive people that don't feel this way, but I myself would be just fine to do philosophy all day, every day, and I'm perfectly happy. Some people who are highly sensitive might feel like they need to, you know, jog or, you know, do some other physical activity.
Right.
So, you know, with me, the seriousness of my high sensitivity lies in my intellectuality.
Okay. But that's something that you've made a conscious choice. And I think it comes down to everybody has to make their own choices. And sometimes we might feel helpless in the fact that we don't have the choices. And the fact of the matter is we do have choices. We can choose our friends. We can choose, people that we associate with, activities that we do. And the more we understand ourselves, the more we know what we need.
Right.
And that's what it comes down to. You have to know what you need. You have to be confident enough to know when you need it, but to take the time you need and to make boundaries when you need to. And that's a real challenge for highly sensitive people. Especially myself, I do have that problem. But the more I learn, the more I do, it's easier for me to do that.
Well, you know, it's a new concept to a lot of people, kind of like ADD was in a different form, obviously, but it was a new concept. When I was in school, they didn't have anything termed ADD back then that I heard of. It was just, you know, Johnny either got it or he didn't, you know. And 90% of the time, it wasn't a learning disorder when a child, you know, was having trouble learning. It was a behavioral issue. So it was, you know, we term things as we learn, too. And I think this is something that is becoming more of an awareness to our society that may have always been there. So,
you're right. It's always been there. And it's a question of, you know, sometimes we have to take the initiative to seek out information. And that's what I've done. That's what a lot of people that contact me are doing, and the fact that they want to learn more about it. And I truly believe that it's not a terrible thing. Now, there's also different schools of thought about the label HSP, highly sensitive person. And when I first found out about it, I never thought of it as being a label or I was labeling myself. It was just a term that made me understand what high sensitivity was. And there's been problems in the HSP community of the fear of being labeled an HSP. And my personal feeling is that once you understand it, once you know about it, the more confident you're going to be about, you won't care what a label is. You won't care that other people think that you're a highly sensitive person. You're not going to have that. You're not going to look at it as a stigma. And because you don't look at it as a stigma, other people aren't. I think we place more barriers on ourselves than other people. I think people are more concerned about themselves rather than about us. So the more confident we become, the easier it's going to be, and we won't have to worry about being labeled this or that.
Well, I think it's important to break down the aspects of, you know, what it means to be technically diagnosed highly sensitive. I think it's important to break down the aspects of what could trigger the sensitivity, and then how to deal with that trigger, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of the triggers, I'll use myself as an example. A lot of the triggers are other people.
Mm-hmm.
Other people can push our buttons. Okay. Sometimes people will say something to us, and they don't have, you know, they don't look at it as being malicious, but they might say something and we might take something the wrong way. We might be considered taking it being too sensitive. Okay? Now, we're very perceptive, we're very intuitive, so these are good things, but sometimes we could take our strength and have it work against us. Now, bear in mind, there are some people that are going to be mean-spirited, and that's something we can detect too. being an intuitive person, being able to tune into what the objectives of other people are. This is a strength of ours, and sometimes we don't use it. We let our emotions take over, and we let other people hurt our feelings. Okay?
Well, almost when you put it that way, it almost sounds as if we are just overly sensitive to something that we shouldn't be.
It's not that we shouldn't be. We can't turn off our sensitivity. In fact, what I try to do in my work, whether it be a seminar, teleseminar, or whatever, I try to emphasize that the goal shouldn't be to change ourselves, because we can't. Okay, the goal should be to change our perspective about ourselves. And that's by learning more about ourselves, by having techniques to deal with situations that might get on our nerves.
Well, I know growing up, you know, and I want to touch on this while you're on that subject.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up and realizing over time when I found you and I found out about this and I realized, wow, you know, I just couldn't believe that I was reading what I was reading. I had never, you know, seen anything. And so, but, you know, I want to share this because maybe it will help some other highly sensitive people understand.
Okay.
You know, if they haven't already come to that understanding over time, you know, I think the difference between, you know, whether you're just sensitive and have some kind of, you know, discerning behavioral issue and everything bothers you, that's really not the case. And I think people can become very misconstrued on that when they hear about highly sensitive people and all the terms that are used in and around describing that phenomenon. But I think what it comes down to is, I know growing up throughout my life, my family members were, less conscientious than I was, I'll put it that way. And I always felt, different, like you say. And when I would, as a child, you don't understand, you say things, you don't think about it. And always the response from my family was, oh, you're so sensitive. Why are you so sensitive? We didn't mean anything. And, But others, the reason I say this is because other people, like my family's friends or my friends or, different other estranged type people, would compliment me on my awareness.
Right.
So that's when I began to go, okay, wait a second. Now, am I too sensitive or am I just onto it? And some people don't want to admit to that,
Right.
And so it was the compliments that were balancing, the comments that made me start to wonder, okay, why am I feeling this way when five other people around me right now aren't?
Right.
And why am I five steps ahead over here on this situation and they're not? And, that was the thing. That's the point I wanted to make.
It's easy. Well, you brought up a very good point because it's very easy to be puzzled because you're getting mixed messages, especially when you're younger. You're very reactive to what other people say and do. Okay, and you said you got one compliment and maybe five negative comments. So you're going to focus more on the negative comments than you are with the good one. And that's where the awareness comes in. That's where you have to, the thing is, you don't want to, I don't want to encourage anybody to be less sensitive because that's going against who they are. But I think if we're less reactive to different situations, I think it's going to make our lives a lot easier.
I should have just ran away when I was 8, and just explored the Himalayas,
Yeah.
No, I used to get told a lot when I was even age 8, 9, from my mom's friends that were around. She had, different friends that she associated with from work. Just in her social circle. And, when she'd have her coffee clutch with one of her female friends and, we'd all be hanging out in the house and, I'd kind of do my thing while they were talking, sometimes they would, acknowledge, you know, different things that I was doing. You know, and they would say, my goodness, you're very mature for your age. So I don't think that it was a true, like you said, you know, the sensitivity aspect. It said, you know, it was 24/7 for me. You know, I never put it down.
Right, right.
And for a lot of people.
Don't you find that, you know, the good comments, we seem to just forget about them. You know, we could have like 10 good comments, and then you hear one bad comment, and we're going to focus on the negative. But that's true.
Right.
That's true with everybody. So I think we have to pay attention to the good things that we've learned, and to not. I'm not saying to not be not be too sensitive, but realize that people are different. We're not going to be the same, and in order to lower our stress, we need to just acknowledge the differences and work with the good things that we have. And that's very important.
Well, a lot of it is upbringing, too. I mean, with any personality characteristic, whatever it may be, doesn't matter what it is, good, bad, or indifferent, it really has a lot to do with who's your guidance counselor, who's the one bringing you up and guiding you through, and let's face it, there's a very low percentage of individuals in any era who have been, you know, precisely brought up. You know, every family has had their imbalances, and
right.
But, you know, in the families that I've seen that are very balanced and that have, you know, given good guidance to their children, generally do develop, you know, healthy adults. And
right.
So
that's definitely true. That's definitely true. But if you didn't grow up, I want to emphasize, very important, if you're an adult and you didn't have the best childhood, it doesn't mean that you can't move forward despite, you know, maybe some traumatic experiences in childhood. You can just go from where you are and to move forward. And the way to do that is to learn more about yourself and
to learn to adapt,
and that's what we all have to do. And the thing is, once we're confident with who we are, it's easier to adapt to other things, because when you feel good about yourself, the little things are not going to bother you as much, and that's
right.
Very important, because it might not be, you know, the things that push our buttons might not be, you know, catastrophic things or incidences, but it could be a combination of small things over a course of a day that just grind you down emotionally and physically.
Now, is this the types of things, describe a typical friendship circle meeting for me.
Okay, well, we have different types of events because everybody's in different, in different parts of the country and different parts of the world. And I started the group in March. I'm going to celebrate an anniversary because I started March 23rd in 2008. So it's going to be 2 years. I've had 37 events, and it's been a combination of different types of things. I've had some seminars. I've had teleconferences. I've had some field trips. Some field trips that I've had are being in the park during the summertime and the springtime, because it's a common thing that highly sensitive people like to be outdoors. So we try to have outdoor events. We're having something this coming week. We're going to have a discussion group of the movie The Secret, and that's coming up this Sunday.
Why did you pick that movie?
I picked the movie because it was very instrumental in me finishing my book. And I saw the movie came out in 2006, and I saw the movie in 2006, and I was in the process. I had finished writing my book, and I needed somebody for book and page layout. And I was trying to deal with local people, and I was dealing with a few people, and I was just getting so disgusted because it just wasn't getting done. You know, you have to have the right person to click with and person that's going to get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had in my mind at that time that I was so disgusted. I was thinking of just not finishing the project. But when I saw the movie deals with law of attraction, and it means what you think about comes about. And what I was thinking about with my situation with the book, I had in my mind that all people are unreliable and I would never find the right person to lay the book out. That was my mindset. When I saw the movie, it emphasized that, hey, I was driving people away with my thoughts. So after I saw the movie, I thought, you know what, I am going to find that person. And shortly thereafter, a friend of mine told me about a website called Elance.com, and it's from and it had practitioners from all over the world. And I was looking at different they had different portfolios, and they had different comments on people that on you know what comments people had with people that they work with. And this one lady's work stood out. Anyway, I contacted her through email, and it turns out the lady was from Venice, Italy, and English was her third language. Okay, we corresponded through email correspondence. Okay, I've never seen her. I've never spoken to her. Now, this is in December of 2006, okay, when I first saw the movie. I had in my mind that I was going to finish the book. I was going to have a book in my hand by June of 2007. And the reason why I had that date in mind was because Book Expo America, which is the largest trade book show in the world, was going to be in New York City, and I live in New Jersey. So I wanted to have a book in my hand for the show. Okay, now I made that vow to myself without even knowing who was going to lay it out and what I was going to do, whatever. When I saw the movie, I got the right person, and it worked out. I had the book 2 weeks before Book Expo America. Okay, so the power of my thought, just the shift of my mindset with here people are not reliable to, okay, I'm going to find the right person, and I'm going to have the book by the time I wanted to, and it materialized just by shifting my thinking. So this is not hocus pocus. This is something that actually works, and I'm really looking forward to the Sunday to talk about this, because our thoughts really determine how our lives are going to be. And it's very easy for us to not to downgrade ourselves and to think negatively.
I could see this really going in the direction of a great synopsis of how to and, you know, how not to, and just basically get out there and just, you know, say, you know, look, you're a highly sensitive person, admit it, accept it, and here's what you can do.
You're right, and it shouldn't be looked as a detriment. That's something I really want to emphasize. It's something I really believe, and it's something
that every motivational coach
I want to emphasize, too, I'm not a psychologist. I'm a regular person. I actually self-published the book myself. I did, you know, I basically went through, getting a printer, getting someone to do the index, someone to edit it. I mean, I actually went through the steps to get all the people I needed to get the book done.
Yes.
Okay, so although I didn't have experience in this, I just knew I wanted to do this. I had a strong feeling that I wanted to do it. And then when my mindset was right, all these things were able to materialize. People that I needed came up.
And it's important to emphasize. Right. I mean, it's important to emphasize, you know, for the purposes of you know, our listeners, people that will listen in and want to get new and more insight about it. It's important to emphasize the positive things. It's important to emphasize the activities around this to excite people about it and make them aware that, you know, this is why. This is important. This is why, you know, we're doing this. This is why information is being presented to you. You've organized it precisely. You're between your newsletter and your website and the groups that you do, you're putting a lot of work into this, and there's a good reason for it. There's a very good reason. There are so many now, motivational speakers, coaches, self-help gurus, and et cetera, that are out there now, inspirational, spiritual guidance individuals. They're by the dozens, you know, thousands now today. And so there's so much available to us. I think what makes it unique, you know, is that, you know, like some of the other motivational segments that we see out there, what makes it unique is it really helps to target and bring people together in a more personalized format. People feel that they're not, you know, paying hundreds of dollars for a ticket to get into someone standing on a stage, which is also important. I've seen much success with law of attraction meetings and, you know, coaching and different things like that. But this is much more personalized.
Well, that's something I really wanted to do because I'm really into self-help information. I've been into self-help information for years, and I feel that that's really helped me prepare me to do the work that I'm doing now.
Exactly.
I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a therapist. And I'm actually, you know, making this a personal thing where I mention my personal experiences. I mention the challenges that I have. And I think the best thing, well, what I want to do is to have things in written information, have formats where people can actually air their thoughts and desires. And I want to, I think the best thing that I can do is to be an example of the things that I teach.
It's important. It's important that you're doing that. I mean, what I see, you know, when I look around out there, I follow even on Twitter. Twitter's become a major part of everybody's life here. It is a good marketing tool. It is a good way to meet with people and be visible, I should
okay.
say.
Okay. Well, I'm very fortunate in the fact that you contacted me through Twitter.
I know. Well, I'm fortunate as well that you were there for me to contact.
So, but really, isn't it kind of a small world where, you know, just I'm coming in contact with so many different people from all over the world, I just can't believe it.
It's wonderful. It is.
It really is.
The Internet's great. It is.
It really is.
But I see many people on there, Cliff, that are, you know, they're doing their thing. You know, they have spiritual businesses where, you know, they are motivational authors as well in different formats than what this is. But this is extremely unique. And the realm of possibility is just great, you know, with this. And
I mean, there's a lot of different information. I think everybody has to, I guess, decipher what information will help them. Everybody's got different styles, but it's important that it's a constant learn. You know, learning about ourselves is a constant search.
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
It's something that you're not just graduating. You never really graduate.
Yeah.
You're just keep. You know, you're just you know, adding to your learning knowledge, and the more you learn to your learn, to, the more information you have on your knowledge base, the better choices, the better life you're going to have because you're going to know what you need. You know, the biggest thing that people have a problem with is they don't know what they want. They don't know what they need. So how can they ask for it, and how can they go after something that they don't know?
Yeah, it is. It's you know, when you look at the highly sensitive person characteristics, and we know that certain things are very overwhelming. Certain things make us very sensitive. Certain, you know, aspects of a group may overwhelm us. And, you know, I know you offer different resources and products on your website that, you know, explain ways to deal with those feelings. The same way that, you know, other aspects of life could stress you out. And, you know, so it's important that we understand the difference of, you know, where we're a highly sensitive person and where we're just stressed out and need a bubble bath, you know?
Right. We need, you know, if we need something, I have products on my website that emphasize, well, these are products that I use. I have aromatherapy products. I have actually CDs that actually slow down the heart rate and that can actually make you calmer, okay? And it's specifically for people that have overactive nervous systems, which is what being a highly sensitive person is. You know, I have something for energy. I have something. When I wrote my book, I used Calm, okay, because I have a tendency for my mind to work in so many different directions, and my my concentration is not really great at night, but when I was writing my, when I was getting the information together for the woman in Italy, there's a 6-hour time difference, so I had to do a lot of my corresponding at night and late at night. Okay, so I needed something to calm my myself down and to get my thoughts in order, and this is real, it was really helpful for me to do that. So this is part of the self-care that we need, the strategy that we need. You know, I want to provide information, you know, to my readers about my, as I said, about my personal experiences, what I do, and also with the Highly Sensitive Person Friendship Circle, the meetup group, we have a message board, and people can vent their feelings and emotions, and we can, you know, people respond to it. And just amazing how the feelings that we have are feelings that other people have. And that's kind of comforting itself, but also it, it gives us a sense of release that we can vent our feelings to other like-minded and other like-minded like-feeling people. And this is very important.
Right. Right. You know, that's the important thing, that we, you know, we understand how to use this to our benefit. And I know we're looking forward to taking advantage of that in the future with you. You're going to be putting forth different aspects to help us utilize that so that we can definitely be in a perspective to utilize these sensitivities to our benefits.
Right. I look forward to that. And as I said, I appreciate the opportunity for you to allow me to do that. Hello?
Yes, and so I'm waiting for you to respond.
Okay. Well, no, well, the thing is, I really want to get into other topics, such as the challenges of highly sensitive people. Social anxiety is something that it's not necessarily an inherited character trait, but I have social anxiety, and people who are kind of amazed when I admit that in public. But you know, these are issues for highly sensitive people. Also,
right.
We want to get into right livelihood. Okay, that doesn't necessarily mean a job. It could mean doing some volunteer work, being in the right. It's very important that we're in the right environment for ourselves. Okay, because if we're not in the right situation, it makes us feel very uncomfortable. And more so for highly sensitive people, they have to be in their right environment, and that's very important.
Go ahead.
We're going to talk about self-esteem, relationships, criticism. I mean, these are all things that I get questions about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I really get.
We look forward to that. We're going to put it together for our next show.
Okay.
I want to thank you for the show tonight, and I will definitely be in touch with you so we can converse about our next show. I hope our listeners are enjoying all of what we had to say this time around, and will join us for the next show.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I want to thank you for being here, Cliff.
Okay.
And,
thanks again, Liz. If anybody has any questions, they can email me at cliff@the highlysensitiveperson.com.
Okay.
And my website is www.thehighlysensitiveperson.com. So,
right.
You know, you have information about the other things.
Right,
that
and we have it on the homepage. For
very good.
To visit, and I will definitely be in touch with you so we can converse about our next show. I'm very excited about it, and I'm excited about discussing the topics that we you know, that we need to discuss to further this along, you know, the education. So
good. I thank you
a lot,
again.
Cliff, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, Liz. Be well.
Okay. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So you're stuffing a raw chicken full of lemon and tarragon, and you're sweating because, A, you can fit a lot of lemon and tarragon inside a chicken, and, B, your date is arriving soon and you still haven't opened wine or put on music or set the mood, but you do have an Amazon Echo, so you say,
Alexa, turn on date night. Okay.
And just like that, romantic music begins to play, the lights are dimmed, and all you have to do is pour the wine right after you wash your hands thoroughly.
Alexa, you're amazing.
My pleasure.